right, let's try this again. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. What a week this has been, eh? Chances are when I say winter, you don't say bicycle. But for some people, winter's a great time to bike. We'll talk about winter bicycling and how that works. We're also going to talk about Governor Walker's proposed state budget, which includes significant cuts to state cycling programs. My guest is Dave Cheslevich, the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. He also served two terms as mayor of Madison, where he set the city on a path for platinum status as one of the best biking cities in North America. Dave Cheslevich, welcome to the Joy Cardine Show.
Morning, John.
Okay, so let's talk about the governor's budget first. Which bike programs does the budget reduce funding for?
Well, the governor's budget would affect three programs. The first is a program called Complete Streets. Now, that's been around since 2009. It's actually not funding, it's a law, and it simply says that whenever there's state or federal funding in a road project, the agency in charge of the project needs to take into account bicyclists and pedestrians. Now, they don't necessarily need to provide a facility for them, but they need to consider them, and if it's at all possible, provide a safe facility for them to bike or to walk. So the governor would completely remove that requirement. That's a very significant change. And by the way, we don't think it should come in the budget. We think that's a policy issue that should stay out of the budget. Secondly, he would cut a program called the Transportation Alternatives Program. Now, this is a federal program to which the state also invests some money. He would cut 100% of the state funding, so about $2 million out of the total. It amounts to about a 13 or 14% cut. So it's the equivalent of the same sort of $300 million cut to the university, about the same kind of percentage cut to that program. And then the third thing is that he would pretty much eliminate the state stewardship fund. Basically, he would suspend any spending out of stewardship for about 13 years. And that fund is used for all kinds of good purposes, expanding state parks, natural areas, and also building and expanding state trails. So we're concerned about that one as well.
You were talking about cuts that would prevent the state from establishing more new trails, and that would seem to be a pretty big deal for bikers because bicyclists have been using the trails that Wisconsin has been developing over the last, 30, 40 years?
Oh, yeah, actually, the first, it's called Rails to Trails project in the country, was the Elroy Sparta Trail, which is coming up on a 50-year anniversary now. So Wisconsin's actually been a leader in that program, and actually the Bike Fed is working together with the State Department of Natural Resources and DOT to work on a plan for an interstate bicycle network. So the idea is to take all of these trails across the state and create an interconnected network of trails, just like we have a highway system. So Wisconsin's always been a leader in this, and we've been making even more progress recently.
Well, let's talk about how large an impact biking has in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a $1.5 billion industry. It supports about 14,000 jobs. You know, we are a hub of the bicycle industry here in south central Wisconsin. Obviously, Trek, one of the largest bicycle manufacturers in the world, is located here in Waterloo. We have Saris, who makes bicycle racks, both the ones that fit on your car and the ones that you chain your bicycle to. And they're one of the largest manufacturers of racks in the world. We have another firm, a bit smaller, but Mad Racks also makes the same sorts of racks. Pacific Cycle, which owns the Schwinn brand and some others. Planet Bike distributes bicycle lights and all kinds of accessories for bicycles. And then we have a great bicycle touring industry, and about 400 bicycle events throughout the state every year. So Wisconsin's a great place to ride a bike, and it's a big part of our economy. It's actually, it's hard to believe, but the $1.5 billion in the bicycle industry is actually bigger than deer hunting in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. And 14,000 people work in something connected to biking in the state. That's a lot of bodies at work, and we certainly need them right now. We're going to take a break for the news, and when we come back, we'll have more of our conversation with Dave Cheslevich. We'll continue to talk a little bit about what the governor's budget does to biking in Wisconsin, and then we're going to talk later on in the hour about winter biking something that's kind of fun to talk about. You can join us at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about bicycling today with Dave Cheslevich, the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. He also served two terms as mayor of the city of Madison, where he set the city on a path for platinum status as one of the best biking cities in North America. Listeners, do you use bike lanes? Do you think there should be funding for bicycle safety programs? Or do you think they're a waste of taxpayer money? Do you use bike trails? What do you like about them? You bike in the winter. What do you enjoy about that? 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org, or find the Joy Cardine program on Facebook and Twitter and leave your comment or question there. Dave Cheslevich, why should the state fund biking programs?
Well, as we were mentioning before the break, for one thing, it's good for the economy. So 14,000 jobs, $1.5 billion in economic activity. It just makes sense because bicycling is such a big part of Wisconsin's economy. There are environmental benefits, of course. If you're biking, you're not contributing to global climate change, to air pollution, to dependence on fossil fuels, all those good things. We have a real problem in this country with some health issues, including obesity. Cycling is a great way to get some exercise every day. And if you use a bike as your way to get to and from work, well, you're sort of incorporating that in your day, and you don't have to worry about going to the gym. And bicycling, you know, as a former mayor, it's a great way to get around a community. It means less traffic congestion, less competition for parking, less wear and tear on the roads. I loved bicycles when I was a mayor because they were so easy to accommodate and so much less expensive to accommodate than other kinds of vehicles.
And you mentioned the Complete Streets Law earlier. That was heralded as a very effective way to include non-motorized vehicles in road planning. So as I understand it, in the governor's budget, that won't happen anymore. Was there any reason given for was it costing the state extra money to have more people at the table?
No, we don't think so. The governor did this, unfortunately, without warning. I went to see the governor's office just a short time before the budget was introduced. It was indicated to me pretty clearly that the governor had no interest in messing with this law, and then a few days later, very unfortunately, it was repealed. So, no, the governor has not made a public case for it. And again, what the law says is that cyclists and pedestrians have to be taken into account when a new road is being reconstructed or built. Obviously, if you're talking about the interstate system here or a busy state highway, they're obviously not going to be included. But in roads where it's reasonable to include facilities for bicyclists and pedestrians, then they should be provided. Our argument is that this really doesn't cost us much of anything. So, for example, if on a rural section of a highway you're paving a shoulder, well, paving that shoulder is good for cyclists for sure, but it's also good for motorists, provides them a safer place to pull off the highway if they have to. It also extends the life of the road. So a lot of these things that you might do for bicyclists or pedestrians are things that are good for motorists and taxpayers as well.
Okay, so what are you hearing about what might happen with this proposal in the state legislature? Is there, the governor's budget rarely, no matter how much of a majority his party has in the Assembly and the Senate, rarely gets through the legislative process unchanged. We have already heard rumblings on other issues that suggest the Speaker of the Assembly wants to make changes in the governor's budget. Have you heard anything about how what changes might happen that could maybe put some of this language back into the budget?
Sure. Bicycling has lots of friends in the state legislature. The Complete Streets Law was written by Senator Fred Risser from Madison. Senator Risser is helping us and working hard to try to get the law reinstated. We do have some friends on the Republican side of the aisle who are interested in helping out on this. As you mentioned, it's a long process, and the governor's introduction of the budget is just the first step. The actual budget won't pass until late June. And during that process, we think we have a fair chance of getting these unfortunate attacks on cycling out of the budget.
800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program, 800-642-1234. Let's take a call from Wayne in Hartford. Wayne, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment, as a senior citizen, first of all, paved shoulders, bicycle lanes, trails. It's just amazing what they mean to the bicyclist of this state, how this state has worked to be so progressive in bicycle riding. I see continually older generation riding bicycles, and, you know, it's dangerous out there. And anything we can do in this state to provide safe bicycle transportation is something that's wonderful. I support the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. I'm a member of the COWS, Couples on Wheels. And, you know, there's nothing better than riding a bicycle in Wisconsin.
And thanks so much for your call. Well, Dave, I'm sure there's nothing for you to disagree with there, but that's a pretty common sentiment among bicyclists, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, it is, and Wayne makes a good point. There are 77 million of us in the baby boom generation, and, you know, we're all sort of getting on in years, and bicycling is a great way to stay fit. For a lot of us who have been runners over our careers, you know, that jostling sensation of running can wreak havoc on your joints. Bicycling is a really great way to stay active. I know lots of folks who continue to bike well into their 70s and 80s, and so it's a great way to stay fit. And when you think about it, anything that encourages people to move, including cycling, is going to reap benefits for us in the long run in terms of health care costs to society as a whole. So what the caller was talking about was absolutely right, and he points up another reason that these kinds of cuts and, well, there's no other way to put it, attacks on cycling, just don't make sense in the long run.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're talking with Dave Cheslevich, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation, about the impact of the governor's budget on bicycling. We've talked about the Complete Streets Law. We mentioned the Transportation Alternatives Program. I want to come back to that and talk about that a little bit. It was defunded by $2 million, basically, in the entire state half of the budget. There's some federal money that also goes into the Transportation Alternatives Program. How is this going to impact bike trails and planning, and will any workers be affected by this cut?
Well, of course they will. So just in this last cycle, there were about two dozen projects funded under the Transportation Alternatives Project. I'll just give you a few examples. There were sidewalk improvements in the village of Osceola. In Waukesha, the Waukesha to Brookfield connector bicycle facility was constructed. City of Beloit, the Powerhouse Riverwalk, and I know the Riverwalk is really important to economic development in Beloit. Here in the Madison area, the Capital City Path was extended using these funds, and there were 20 other projects. Obviously, if this fund is cut, there will be fewer projects built, and all the jobs that go into building those projects simply won't happen. So, again, I think a short-sighted cut.
And we had Scott from Appleton who wrote in to say, "If why should the state be investing in bike trails? Can't cities do this instead? If cyclists want to pay for lanes, we should license bikes and the bikers, and that's who should pay for this."
Well, actually, cities are making big investments on their own as well. Here in Madison, we have a $50 million five-year program to invest city funds in bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and the state and federal funding simply help out with that. But that's not an entirely unusual story. You know, the city of Milwaukee and many other communities invest in bicycle and pedestrian facilities, so there's a mix of funding. And the same is true for drivers. So it is true that state and federal funding help with your state and federal highways, but at the local level, all of your roads are paid for with property taxes. So, as a matter of fact, no matter what mode of travel you select, the funding behind building those facilities is actually mixed.
All right. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join our program to talk about bicycling in the state of Wisconsin. And still to come, we're going to talk about winter bicycling because that's apparently a thing. And that was news to me. I know that people ride their bicycles in the winter. I see them out. It was always something that I never did when I was bicycling, but probably because where I grew up, it was in the wintertime, a lot of times 30 below zero, and nobody wants to be out on a bicycle then, I don't think, but maybe we'll find out differently. So what is the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation doing to advocate for cycling rights in response to these budget proposals?
Well, we've mobilized our membership. We have 4,600 members across the state. And we know that they've been responding to our action alerts. You can learn more by going to wisconsinbikefed.org. And I've been keeping folks up to date with a regular blog on what's happening. We're hitting the pavement and the marble in the state legislature in the Capitol, talking to legislators, talking to others in various coalitions. We have really support for these initiatives, Complete Streets and TAP, from groups like the Sierra Club and also the folks who build roads in the state of Wisconsin. So there's really broad support for cycling in the state. And at least in our initial conversations, I'm encouraged at our chances to get these things reversed.
We have some callers. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Jackie in Drummond next. Jackie,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yes, I was listening to your program, then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I live in the Hayward area, and we have a lot of recreational biking, but I don't see too much functionality biking. So I kind of started my own program. I park and ride. I volunteer at WOJB radio station, community radio. So I drive about halfway on my day that I work there, and then I bike, to the station and bike back. So I think park and ride your bike is a way in rural areas because everything is so spread out. And then, thinking about budget cuts, they started a bike path along a busy highway, Highway 77, which is an arterial highway, connecting, northern Wisconsin. And then all of a sudden this stopped. And it dawned on me, everybody's saying, well, Jackie, what do you think happened to it? And I don't know if it was federal money, but I think we could do a lot more of connecting, rural areas by, bike paths or designated bikeways and shoulders, wider shoulders, when they build roads.
Jackie, thanks for the call. Dave Chislevich?
Right. Well, she makes a very good point. And one of the things I mentioned earlier, I'm not sure if it actually got on the air, was that the Bike Fit is working with the DNR and the DOT to create an interconnected network of bicycle trails throughout the state. So exactly the issue Jackie was talking about, where you have a trail and then you get to a point where all of a sudden it just ends. Well, we certainly wouldn't do that with a road. So what we need is an internet-connected system, because we've got some really great trails in our state, but too often they're not connected to where a person actually wants to go. And so the idea is to have a network of trails where you can get pretty much anywhere you need to get on a designated trail. Now, that won't necessarily be an off-road trail in every case. In some cases, it'll be a dedicated bike lane. But having a system like that, I think, will address a lot of the issues that Jackie just raised. And she also made a good point. It'll be good for tourism. Tourism is a big part of that $1.5 billion that I mentioned that bicycles produce in the state. Wisconsin's just one of the best places on earth to ride a bike. There's just no question about it. All over the state, but particularly sort of in the hilly, driftless region. If the Olympics had come to Chicago in 2016, that part of the state would have been home to the Olympic cycling competition. The road races would have been in west of Madison, and just gives you an indication of how great the cycling is in our state.
Mm. Well, I know I get to Madeline Island quite often, and I know the bike lanes there get used. I think there are probably more people that bicycle around the island than drive cars, I would imagine, in the summertime. It's a safety thing. You need to have lanes wide enough so that bicyclists can safely ride, and bicycles and cars can share the roadway. Let's take a call from David in Hudson next. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I'm not a big biker myself. I'm not, on that activity group. But I grew up in Sparta, and so I'm well aware of the great, at recreation that these bike trails provide, and plus what a great economic boost they provide to rural communities. So I think it's short-sighted to cut. I really admire the state in the past for having such an extensive, bike trail system. And yeah, ideally, it sure would be nice to have them connected. But and that, of course, would take time as long as we keep getting funding.
David, thanks so much for that comment. You don't have to be a biker to support biking.
No, you don't. That's a point we like to make at the Bike Fed. Really, biking's good for the state. Whether you personally ever get on a bike or not. Obviously, the economic activity we've talked about, the benefits to public health, the benefits to air quality, and all those things, those accrue to people whether or not they actually ever get on a bicycle themselves or not.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Is there some other way? Let's assume the worst, and nothing changes in the governor's proposals to the legislature. Is there some other way that some of this funding could be made up?
Well, there really isn't. Obviously, the federal government passes a transportation bill usually every 5 years or so, but recently they've just been extending the transportation acts by about 2 years. So everyone can see, unfortunately, what's happening at the federal level. There's gridlock. So we're not really counting on more support from the federal government. State government, obviously, at least from the governor, has been difficult, but we, we're feeling relatively optimistic about what the legislature might do. Local governments have been terrific, and some local governments do have their own complete streets policies. Madison has one. So at the local level, some of this could continue, but obviously local budgets are strained as well. So any cut in funding from the state is really going to hurt across the board.
800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're going to break for news in about a minute. When we come back, I want to hear more about winter bicycling, and I'd like to hear from some listeners who bike in the wintertime and how that works for you. 800-642-1234. Email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And you can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and on Twitter and leave your comment or question there. We've got some Facebook comments to get to about bike safety. And some other comments as well. Lots of people are calling in to let us know what they think about this issue. My guest is Dave Cheslevich, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. He also served two terms as mayor of Madison, where he set the city on a path for platinum status as one of the best biking cities in North America. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We're going to catch up with the news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll be right back. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about cycling today, bicycling, with Dave Cheslevich, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. We've been talking about the effects of the governor's budget on biking in Wisconsin, but we also want to talk about winter bicycling. Why do you enjoy it if you get out there on your bicycle in the winter? And what kinds of bikes can safely be used in the winter? A lot of things to talk about there. I'd like to hear your experiences. 800-642-1234. talk@wpr.org, or you can find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and Twitter. Before we get to that, though, we have a comment from Jane on Facebook that, Dave, I'd like you to address. Jane on Facebook says, if we want to increase bike safety, stop putting in roundabouts. trying to bike through an intersection where motorists insist that they don't need to use lane signals or stop for anything is insane. The only reason there are not more accidents is that pedestrians and bicyclists quickly learn to avoid these dangerous intersections. Well, we're certainly seeing more roundabouts pop up around the state of Wisconsin. I guess this is the first time I thought about them in the context of bicycling. Is this something you hear from your membership?
No, actually we don't. I mean, the Bike Fed doesn't have an official position on roundabouts, but I do know that there are statistics that show roundabouts are actually a good deal safer than your typical controlled intersection, and that's because the kinds of accidents that you might get in a roundabout tend to be glancing blows as opposed to head-ons or T-type crashes. So I know that statistically they actually, while they may not seem safe sometimes, statistically, in fact, they're safer, and they actually move traffic better than a traditional controlled intersection. They're sort of new in the United States, and so drivers do need to get used to them, but, you know, we're developing a whole generation of drivers now that have known roundabouts since they started driving. So I think people are going to get more used to them over time.
Okay. Let's talk about winter biking. I guess because I apparently don't pay enough attention, I had no idea that this was even a thing. How big a deal is winter biking in Wisconsin?
You know, it's getting bigger all the time. And with the advent of fat bikes, these big bikes you see with the tires that almost look like motorcycle tires, fat bikes are really taking off in the state just in the last couple of years. And they make winter biking really, really easy. And so, but you don't need one. A fat bike can run you a couple thousand dollars. But for myself, I bought an old mountain bike, and I had it tripped out with studded tires and fenders and a powerful light, and it works just fine. So, you know, that you don't need to go out and invest in a very expensive bike if you don't want to. There are all kinds of options to bike safely in winter. The main thing is you want to dress brightly. It's always a good idea to make yourself visible when you're cycling any time of the year, but especially in the winter. You want to wear bright, reflective clothing. You want to make sure you have powerful lights. Safety is always the first consideration. But, people are really embracing the season, even on their bikes in Wisconsin.
Well, let's take a call from a winter biker. John is with us in Madison. John, good morning.
Good morning and welcome. Yes, I'm in a Bay Creek area. I bike regularly in the wintertime. The city of Madison does a complete job of keeping the paths and the routes clear and visible for us, and the drivers are considerate. Thank you, Dave, for all the advice. He's right. Studded tires work wonderfully. You just get used to knowing how to ride in the snow. It's a great adventure. It's healthy. It's a wonderful experience. Thank you very much.
Well, John, thanks for that call. So studded bicycle tires. I mean, who knew that? I'm just learning so much here this morning.
Yeah. Studded bicycle tires, by the way, are fine. We banned studded auto tires decades ago because of the wear and tear on the highways, but you just don't have enough weight on a bicycle to create the same kind of wear and tear on a street or a bicycle path. They're great. They really improve your traction. You don't necessarily need them. They can be a little bit pricey, but if you can afford them, they're a great addition to your winter biking gear. And you know, John was absolutely right. A lot of people tell me, and I've experienced this myself, that they actually enjoy biking in winter sometimes more than they enjoy biking in the summer. For one thing, you don't get as heated up, and it's just great to be out there. It's chilly but comfortable if you dress right. And for a lot of folks, they enjoy it actually better than cycling in the rest of the season.
Well, no bugs, for one thing.
No bugs, that's right. Not to worry about.
Okay, but on a more practical note, how do you keep your hands and your face warm?
Yeah, you've identified two big problems. Also, your feet. For your hands, you can invest as much money as you want, and so you can buy these. There are different kinds of mittens that you can buy, usually without fingers, but you can still control the levers and such. And some of them can be actually attached to the handlebar. So you put your hands in sort of as if they were you were immersing them in these affixed gloves to the handlebars. That's probably the thing that will keep you the warmest. But I don't use those. I just wear a thick pair of regular gloves that I have, and they work fine. For your face, I use a forget the technical name for it, but it's basically a pullover that goes around your nose and mouth, leaves your eyes exposed. And if it's a really cold day, folks will wear goggles. But really, with just a couple of additions, and dress in layers. I find it makes a lot of sense to dress in two or three, sometimes four layers, because the amount of layers you need on your way to work might be more than you need on the way home. So with just a few accommodations, it's actually not hard.
So I understand there is something called Winter Bike to Work Day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's actually tomorrow in Madison, and actually it's been Winter Bike to Work Week, and tomorrow is the ultimate set of activities. So there will be bike to work stations. So if you're in Madison and you're biking from the west side, there'll be one at Crazy Legs Drive right near Camp Randall. And if you're biking from the east side, there'll be one at Machinery Row Bicycle Works. I'll be at that one with the Bike Fed staff. And folks can stop by. I think we're starting off at 7 to 9:30, I think, and pick up some hot coffee and a little something to eat for breakfast and talk biking. So encourage people to get out.
Okay, so, in terms of biking safety and things like that, are there certain roads we should avoid when we bike in the winter? How do we judge road conditions in bad weather?
Well, pretty much just common sense. If you'd be nervous driving on a given day, you probably want to think twice about biking on that day. One issue that we do have in Madison and some other places is significant plowing of sufficient plowing of streets, regular streets. So sometimes, particularly in winters where we have a lot of snow, the city won't plow the actual bike lanes, and streets will narrow over time. That can become an issue. Not so much this year. We haven't had that much snow. But obviously, you just want to use common sense. And as I said earlier, always make yourself visible. Always make sure that drivers can see you, so wear the proper clothing, lights, everything you can do to make yourself visible to drivers is going to be helpful both to you and to the drivers.
Okay, so how widely are bikes accepted on our highways these days? I mean, we hear about friction between cars and bikes in some communities. We had a caller who dropped off but who wanted to warn against arrogant bikers. What's the relationship like there?
I think it's actually improving. There are, always going to be folks who are outliers. So I see sometimes cyclist behavior that make me cringe. And people should use common sense, follow the rules of the road. But the truth is, I see folks run red lights every day as well in their vehicles. And we just need to look out for one another. So getting back to, the way we started this conversation, one of the things we want to do is provide safe bicycling and walking facilities for folks. And that doesn't just benefit cyclists and pedestrians. It also benefits drivers, because if we have facilities that provide adequate separation between drivers and cyclists, that's not just good for cyclists. Drivers also will feel more comfortable on the road, and it will reduce some of these conflicts that we do see sometimes.
What do you see as the future for biking in Wisconsin, given the current atmosphere in the budget? And what would you hope for in a budget? Let's forget about the fact that there are these cuts proposed. But what do you see as the future, and what would you like to see in a state budget to support biking?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So the Bike Fed has a program called Two Wheels, 2 Feet, 2%. So we thought it was a modest goal, but to have 2% of the transportation budget dedicated to biking and walking, currently it's about 1.2%. With this cut, it's less. Actually, 9% of trips in Wisconsin are made by bicycle or by walking. We were only asking 2% of the budget initially. Now, of course, we're going to have to fight to keep what we have. But in the long run, We would like funding in the transportation budget to at least approximate the amount of travel done by biking and walking. So that's a major push of us, of the Bike Fed over time. And we've got many other projects. I mean, we talked about the statewide biking network before. We'll continue to support trail development. We're very excited about some recent developments in mountain biking. That's become a growing sport and industry in the state of Wisconsin. And, of course, we want to keep the industry here. The industry is so important to our state. 14,000 jobs, $1.5 billion in economic activity. So we want to find ways not just to keep the industry here, but to keep it growing. So, you know, when signals like this are sent from the governor's office about their attitude towards cycling, it doesn't help in growing that industry. But we're feeling pretty good about where the legislature's at on this, and we think they'll help us restore the funds.
All right, great. Dave Cheslevich, thanks for hanging in there with all our technical problems today. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Dave Cheslevich is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. This program was produced by Caleb Blado with on-air production by Caleb Blado and direction from Christy Taylor. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. More to come on the Joy Cardine Show here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.